Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Oh, 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 oh. Jesus, lead me day by day, fix my eyes upon your face, guide my feet, Lord, as I run. Hold me, Savior, in your love. Jesus, keep me free from sin. Help me fight the war within. Shield me now from fear and doubt. Break these chains that weigh me down. Oh, we sing together now. Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Oh, 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 oh. Jesus, you have run the race, perfect love and perfect faith. We are weary, you are strong, in your grace we carry on. Oh, we sing together now. Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Whoa. That I will know a joy beyond my deepest hope, a Father's love, a Savior's peace, when I am truly home. Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home.
Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Last Monday night, prayer meeting, we decreed and we prayed as we did for the last almost a year that somebody in office will be removed. And guess what? Tuesday night it came over the airwaves that he was removed. Whoever that is, you will have to figure it out yourself. He removed himself. How do you like that? Awesome power of prayer. Now we ask God to replace him with a good one. How about Mr. Cuomo? Anybody know who that is? That's American politics. I was listening to this prophetess, my favorite prophetess, and she, one of her prophecies came true literally by Mr. Cuomo being kicked off. He himself resigned, of course, and the prophecy was given a year, maybe a year and a half ago. I remember that. Very interesting. Things are now starting to happen. As you said, it's going to be dominoes effect now. And if I know him, he's going to tick down a slew of his friends with him if they don't shoot him first. So if you hear him of him committing suicide or maybe hanging on a doorknob, don't be surprised. God is going to start paying what people sold. Anyways, this message today, if I would give it a name, is it would be, Lord, remove yourself from our coast. Interesting message. The message was given to me Monday morning. Holy Spirit spoke it into my heart, and I said, Lord, I don't like that message. Points the finger at me, points the finger at a lot of my friends, points the finger at everyone. Maybe I'll do it some other time. And then Monday night prayer meeting, a prophet got up from his chair and prayed for me and said, the message God give you, do not detour from it. Okay. And for the rest of the week, I was sick. I had flu-like symptoms. Maybe I got in contact with somebody who had been vaccinated. Anybody here been vaccinated? Even to the point when I finished my message on radio, I almost lost it. Somehow, I saved it wrong. And when trying to retrieve it, I found out I still had a friend hanging around me. I had as a pig manager in the Hutterite colony. And you might understand who I'm talking about, the spirit of cursing. I rebuked him later. I said, you're not going to be with me anymore. So it's been a rough week for me. But I'm going to preach this message, even if they shut us down here. When will we else preach it? And we have to understand, God rebukes his children, and he talks to us because he loves us. He wants to correct our pathways so that he can bless us. This is one thing I found out about God. He doesn't do something to hit you. He does something to correct. God chastens these his he loves. So if anybody on the internet who listens to this message, pay close attention, because I know you're guilty. Because I looked in the mirror and there I stood, guilty. And I know all of you here are guilty. So you still care? I might have to use the side door by the time I leave. Just like I heard a preacher the other day. And so I want to explain this. God loves us. He loves his creation. And he wants us to understand. He wants us to get the benefit of everything he has for us. So before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy, Lord, for you have given us grace. And help us to have faith in that grace so that we can be partakers of it. Lord God, you will bless us. You will anoint our ears. And you will anoint me, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We will take up the story in Mark chapter 8 in verse 22. I have a few examples out of the Bible. The spirit of unbelief in human hearts is incredible. In today's society, God doesn't do anything. Whatever happens, it's designed like that. If it's not the will of God or not, that's the way it is. The unbeliever say things will go as they are going. The believer will usually say, that's the will of God. If 10 people die in a crash, it's the will of God. No, God is not out to steal, kill, and to destroy. It's Satan. Satan is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to walk in his statutes so that we can get the benefits. Why do you think this country is in a mess? Because people have been focusing on whatever the will of God is, it is the will of God. The abortion clinics have been doing a very, very good, brisk business on that theology. The homosexuals have risen to a point where they now take over churches. They are now at the center of government influence. Governments are being influenced that it is even illegal to preach against homosexuality. How many of you know that? I had a radio station email me, I'm not supposed to preach against homosexuality. And I told them, there are things that are non-negotiable, and that's it. If you want to take me off radio, I'm going to preach it, and that's it. Homosexuality is a sin. It's an abomination. I don't care how loving and kind a person is. There's a lot of loving and kind people. If they are not in the will of God, they're going to fry in the lake of fire. It's as simple as that. You got to go according to God's laws. You do not change them. He's the same today as he was yesterday. He doesn't change his mind. So we need to understand that. Now to the sin of unbelief. When you read through the four Gospels, you will notice something. A lot of times there was the power to heal. But because of the sin of unbelief, Jesus couldn't heal anybody except for a few. And then he had to leave that place. But the curse that was on these cities where the sin of unbelief was rampant was incredible. It tells us in Mark chapter 18, verse 22, he came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and listened to this, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Usually when Jesus touched somebody, he was healed instantly. He healed a lot of people instantly. Boom, boom, boom. He touched them all over the place. People would touch him and they were healed. But here in this place, there is a problem. Jesus wants to heal the guy and he doesn't want to get healed. He's only partly healed. Mark chapter 18, verse 25 and verse 26, it says, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored. And now listen to this. And he saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Why do you think that was his verdict there? Because of the sin of unbelief. When you get healed by God and you're not very strong, don't tell it to anybody except somebody you trust. Because they will rob you of your healing. The devil is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. Here is something that happened to me. I have to explain this. I was healed of a nosebleed by a lady who just put her hand on her nose, on my nose, and asked God to heal it. I was plagued by nose bleeding for most of my life. I had a special powder called alum. It's a very bitter powder that you put in your nose. That's the only thing that stopped the flow. And then 2 or 3 years later, I met the lady again, and I thanked her for praying for me. And the next day, I kid you not, my nose started to bleed again. Couldn't believe it. There was the devil. Oh, you thought you were healed. And that went on for about a month, and I said, devil, you're a liar. I am taking this healing back, and that's it. It was completely stopped. I haven't had a nosebleed since. Another problem I had terrible allergies. I couldn't walk into the bush with my eyes swelling up. When I was hauling grain in those days, especially soybeans, my eyes and my face would puff up. And one day, I went to Uganda, Africa. I told them about my allergy problems. I look in my background, there's nobody with allergies. Everybody's so strong. Here I am with allergies. Couldn't sleep sometimes. And I had the brothers in Uganda gather around me. And they prayed over me, and one of them said, it's a demon, and they're going to cast it out. And guess what? I came home. I made an appointment with an allergy person in Winnipeg. The doctor did for me. And they stick about 50, 100 needles into you and check you out. And she said, I cannot find anything. I said, try feathers. At least try soybeans. She tried it again. She gave a double dose, and she said, nope, nothing there. I walked out of there, and I said, devil, you're a liar. And I hadn't had any problems since. I kept my healing. Why it works that way, I don't know. So this guy was sent into town and said, don't tell anybody. Please, don't tell anybody. They'll rob you of your healing. Has that happened to any of you? Maybe you had a healing in your life, but that's been a while ago. Now you depend more on drugs. You'd rather go see a doctor. I'm not against going seeing doctors or drugs or any of those things. If that's the faith level you're at, where I'm at, then go for it. But how often we've had an experience with God, He healed us. But now that experience is vague in our minds. We turn to drugs and doctors, and the doctor says, thank you, come back next week, I'll have more pills for you. I know how they work already. So don't share it with people unless you trust Him. Unless He is for healing, unless He loves God, and He knows that God still heals today, you can pray that you'll keep your healing with them, and God will strengthen your faith, and Satan will not be able to steal, kill, and to destroy. So here is the deal with this little town of Bethsaida. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto you. I don't know what name that is. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Let's focus on Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it's been more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. What was the sin of Bethsaida? The sin of unbelief. God, we don't want nothing to do with you. We don't believe what you have. And these people are going to be judged. And when we look at ourselves, we have the same problem many, many times. Regardless what situation we're in, we do not trust God. Instead of listening and seeking God's will, we think out our own ways and our own ideas. Yes, I am guilty myself. I know I sometimes lean towards drugs more than towards prayer. Why? Because it's quicker, I believe. I don't know. Maybe God will heal me if I even dare pray one of these days in faith. I've been healed of many things. I haven't even prayed for it, but God has healed me. So God wants us to understand these things. If we stand upon His word, He will be faithful. So let us look at this from our own personal point of view. Where do we stand with this God that we reverence so much, and we say we do, but when it comes down to it, we say, Lord, I think you better leave our coast. I think you better leave our coast. Why do I say that? There was this problem. Remember the demon-possessed person where God sent those demons into those pigs there? I'm going to take the story up in Matthew chapter 8 in verse 31. This guy came along. Jesus healed them. The devils were cast out already. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into that herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine and beheld the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. I want to focus on this scripture. There's another place where it's recorded. They saw the man sitting in his right mind. They knew who he was. He was a demon-possessed person who could rip chains apart. He was out there crying all the time. But when they saw him saying, because of their pigs, they said, could you leave our coasts? We don't want you here. How often do we say that to Jesus? When we watch a movie and the Holy Spirit convicts us, Jesus, leave my coast for an hour or two. When God calls us to, he convicts us of something. Jesus, leave my coast for a while. I want to do this. I know we're all guilty of that. When God calls or pricks our hearts or mentions something to us, we would rather do our own thing. Money making is more important than going to church. Money making is more important than having prayer meeting. Sports is more important than church and prayer meeting. Any of those things, when we look at it, we're convicted in our hearts, but we force our way through there. We're not going to go to prayer meeting. We're not going to go to church because I got a little bit of work to do. Well, it might be your last day or your last chance to meet with God's people before he takes you home. So take every advantage we got. Remember when they locked us down. Before that, we figured it would never, ever happen. Guess what? We couldn't come here to worship. We couldn't come here to meet with one another. We were locked down in our houses with our little TVs in front of us. That could happen again, even worse, and it will in the future. But we pray this is not going to happen to us for a while now. So God is calling upon us. Let me get your attention so that you can walk into your destiny. If God has called you into ministry, you need to seek the ministry, not the applause that people give you. If God has called you into business, you need to wonder and ask, why is this business? Is it to further the kingdom of God? Or is it to maybe buy more houses, more cars, more boats, go places? We look at ourselves and we see this all around us, but we forget that we're all guilty of it in some fashion or another. So God wants us to get our attention and say, listen, I'm your God. I want to lead you. Why don't you pay attention to me? Because I'm on one-on-one basis with you. Nobody cares except for me. So when you make those decisions, nobody will know. But one, the one who you strive to please, the one you want to be applauded by. As for me, I can honestly tell you, I don't worry too much about the applause of humans. The applause I'm seeking is God's applause. Why? Because it's through Him that I will get my reward. You know, the time is coming when people will be looking and saying, what are we doing? What's happening? Because God will start diminishing His voice. He will not hear. You will not hear His voice. He's pecking on your heart today. He's hammering on your heart. But do you hear His voice? Maybe these things of this world has taken away the voice of God that you don't hear Him. The clamor of this world is drowning out the voice of God. Jesus is calling you to get saved. Why don't you hear Him? Because you have been sarcastic of the idea for a long, long time. Jesus is calling you into the power of the Holy Ghost. Why don't you hear Him? Because you've been drowning out His voice. And you've been listening to teachers who tell you that that went out with the apostles. Even calling it strange fire if there is the power of the Holy Spirit moving. God is not mocked. What we sow, we will also reap. Because there is a day of judgment for every Christ one. Everyone who has become a Christ one through the blood of Jesus. We have a day of judgment ahead for us. How will we stand at the bema seat of Christ? Will He say to us, well done? Yes, He will. But in our hearts, we will know we were detoured many, many times. Detoured away from the will of God by the world that was calling us. Are we guilty? I'm guilty. I know I am. And I know most of us, if not all of us, are guilty of the same thing. We trust more in doctors than in God. We trust more in our money. Oh, we gotta have a lot of money saved up for our retirement. To do what? Buy a faster wheelchair? Come on. We need to use our money for God instead of piling it up in the bank. There is a day of reckoning coming, and then what? God is just trying to remind His children, I am not a spoilsport, but I want you to have the best. So take the best. Serve God with your money. Serve God with your actions. Serve God with your heart mostly. Have a relationship with Him that He can communicate with you. Because if the voice of God goes dim in your heart, how will He tell you what to do? I know for a fact we're all guilty of this. But one of these days I have a feeling in my heart that the power of God will be poured out. Let me tell you, before the harvest will be, there's going to be a letter of rain. It's going to be poured out upon all flesh in a stronger way than it was at the day of Pentecost. And if we're now sarcastic to these things, do you think God is going to come to us? He's going to bypass us. We need to be encouraged. When I read of a person's testimony, how he's been healed by a mighty miracle of God, that gives me joy in my heart. I search those things out. I believe what they're saying. Why would they lie? I've been healed quite a few times. I've had the experience. Am I lying when I tell you I got healed of a heart problem about 20 years ago? Am I lying when I tell you I've been healed of back problems? Am I lying when I tell you I felt the physical hand of God touching my back, healing me? No, I'm not. Some may think so because they don't know me. But for those of you who know me, they know I'm not lying. God is a good God. He's trying to get our attention in a nice way. But remember, God will chasten these he loves. Why will he chasten us? Because so we will not be judged with the world. Now listen to this one. I want to bring one more to your attention. In Matthew chapter 9 in verse 1. Remember when Jesus was he was going across the sea there. He entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Remember, the story is quoted elsewhere where they let him down through the roof. And he said, your sins be forgiven thee. Now listen to the Pharisees. Behold, certain of the scribes said unto themselves, this man blasphemed. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether it's easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then said he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. I want to explain something here. When we lead somebody to Christ, the blood of Jesus is going to take away your sin. For you see, God made a covenant with a man that he could trust. Who is that man? It's the man Jesus. He made a covenant with him for our salvation. And all we have to do is agree with him. We will break that covenant. Jesus never broke it. We will. But if we agree with that covenant, it is ours. And that covenant is that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. We were an unrighteous thing. Now God declares us righteous. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So now all of a sudden, we believe that. Why? As Christians, we've been taught that. We've been taught if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're going to heaven. Your sins are forgiven if you mean it in your heart. But for some reason, when we pray for somebody to be healed, that went out with the apostles. That strange fire. You do not listen to those people. They're brought in a lie into the church. The word of God is the same today as it was yesterday. Healing is for us. Jesus was just trying to teach us. If we can tell people they're saved when they believe in the blood of Jesus, we can also tell people you will be healed if you believe on the blood of Jesus, because that has been given to you by God. By his stripes, we are healed, and by his precious blood, we have been saved. So what's the problem? Forgiving sin, healing, it's done by the same Spirit. God wants us to understand that. But there's a warning I want to give you. Matthew chapter 11, that's in closing out in verse 25. At that time, Jesus entered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Usually, it's the guy with all the brains who tries to rationalize everything that will have a problem with things of the spirit realm. I've seen it over and over. They have so hard a time with simple faith, it's almost impossible for them, because in their mind, they have this thing. It's got to have a rational explanation. He said, I reveal it unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seems good in thy sight. All these things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Here's an interesting one. You will not become a born-again Christian until the Son reveals it to you. You may accept Jesus in your life and go on nonchalantly on your way until it becomes real in your heart. The Son has not revealed it to you. Once it becomes real, the revelation came there by the Son. When you have experienced a healing, you were given that revelation by God, by the Son. If you're going to reject it, if you're going to look at it sarcastically, guess what? Jesus will pass you by. Holy Spirit, you will say, leave my coast. I'm comfortable where I am. I'm comfortable in what I've been taught. I don't want to stretch my brains anymore. Just leave my coast. Just like the way those people did whose pigs were drowned. They saw the man totally healed, but because of their so-called pigs or sows or their money, we don't want you, Jesus. We would rather be rich. We would rather have our business. We need to change that in our own hearts. Never mind money, never mind prestige, never mind sports, never mind those things. This COVID thing has taught us a lesson. Worshiping together, being free, can be taken from us overnight. We've experienced this. This is just a precursor from God. One of these days, it'll come for real. For now, it's going to be pushed back. But the time will come when the Mr. 666 will come on this earth. It'll be for real. You will be under the thumb of the demon-possessed person that is so prescribed in the Word of God. So I want you to open your eyes to God's command. John chapter 14 in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What did Jesus do? He stopped the weather. He stopped the storms. He healed the sick. He produced food. He raised the dead. Greater works will you do if you dare to believe in what I am telling you. My goal is to work towards it, not to push it from me, but to embrace it and work towards it. So let the Lord open your heart to this. Let the Lord bring it in your spirit so that you can take it and become a blessing to this great God who created you. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.
In days of peace and days of rest, in times of loss and loneliness, though rich or poor, your word is true, that all my ways are known to you. No trial has come beyond your hand, no step I walk beyond your plan. The path is dark outside my view, till all my ways are known to you. And oh, what peace that I have found wherever I may be, for all my ways are known to you. Hallelujah, they are known to you. I do not fear the final night, for death will be the door to life. You take my hand and lead me through, for all my ways are known to you. And oh, what peace that I have found wherever I may be. For all my ways are known to you. Hallelujah, they are known to you. Open up my eyes so I may see that you have made these ways for me. Open up my eyes so I may see that you, my God, will walk with me. Open up my eyes so I may see that you have made these ways for me. Open up my eyes so I may see that you, my God, will walk with me. And oh, what peace.